columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
We are here. Think of the time. Oh, you don't have to think about it. It's right here. It is right now. How you doing, Brandon Stokely?
I'm doing great, Zach. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, not a whole heck of a lot. I feel the weekend coming. I feel it. I can smell it. I think I can see it from here. A three-day weekend that I'm really looking forward to. We got the match on Sunday, and I can't wait for that. So I'm just getting fired up, and I'm optimistic and ready to tackle things with you today.
Love it. Yeah, I got out and about this morning, and, man, I'll tell you what, things are getting back to normal around here. Whew. I went to the PGA Superstore, and, I mean, it was crowded in there. It was crowded in there. But it was good to get out and do a few things today. But it's getting back to normal around here. Certainly there was a lot of people in the PGA Superstore. So it was good to get out.
I went to Home Depot 2 days ago, and I had to, like, park, you know, farther away than I wanted to. Because there was that many people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is like a, you know, dim light coming back to full strength. We're definitely not there yet, but it is this past week has been the most momentous in that direction. You could feel it. You see it. There's more cars on the road.
Momentous?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, momentous. Spell
that. How about this?
Me.
Momentum moving in that direction.
Spell that momentous.
Momentous. Mo. So it's got to be M-O, momen-e.
They have the definition.
T-U-S. Bam. Done. Got it. Tuss. Momentous.
Tuss.
Okay.
There's just more cars on the road. You know, even, you know, like traveling to golf yesterday, my one buddy got held up. So if you know anything about traveling on 25 near downtown, you Ooh. Know that when you take that turn around where the stadium is, it's always jammed up. It doesn't matter if it's 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You got to get to like 9 o'clock at night for that thing to not hit your brake. And these past couple months, you know, if we're looking for silver linings, these past couple months, man, Denver's felt like a small town moving around.
Yes.
It reminds me in some ways of Albany, just going from, you know, place to place. You got, you know, four or five cars in front of you at a light, not 28. That's the way it's felt. You kind of zip back and forth the way that I guess things used to be around here a decade or two ago, whatever. Yesterday I brought that up because my one buddy barely made our tee time as we're teeing off because he's coming from up north and getting down to where we were. He got caught on that bend, and he said, I haven't got caught on that bend in a couple months, but it's, you know, again, a sign that, you know, more people are out and about.
How was golf?
Not good. I mean, really bad golf.
Bad day swinging them?
Yeah, it was just a bad day mixed with, and this is what, you know, I need to emphasize for my own self. I'm saying this for myself.
Sure.
Mixed with three or four really great moments.
Okay.
You know,
well,
so
that's what keeps you coming back.
Yep, and I said yesterday, as I was getting off the air, I'm going to make my first par of the season. I did that, sank a 15-footer. My one buddy thought it was a little bit longer. I'll say 15.
Okay.
But it felt great. And a couple shots that just sort of kind of make the round as you salvage, you know, pretty poor play from me. So
yeah, well, that's good. I thought you were going to get your buddy to video it.
You know what? Neither of us thought I was going to make the putt. In my mind, it wasn't reasonable enough for me to be like, okay, here's for, you know, I got to make this 8-footer for par.
Right.
It was like 15, 16 feet.
And probably wasn't going to go in.
Probably wasn't going to go in.
Wasn't worth getting the phone for.
It just wasn't even on my mind.
Right.
So, but I sank
it. Windy, wasn't it?
It was, dude, it was the windiest I've ever played in.
Yeah, it was, I played, and the first four holes were right into the teeth of the wind, and it was brutal. Tough conditions, man.
If you, like, yesterday, one or two times I got under the ball too much, and it's just up there, and the wind is just moving it, like 12 feet, like in the air. It was pretty crazy to watch.
Yeah, it was a windy day. It's those are tough conditions. I mean, it's it plays mental games with you also. But it died down a little bit there towards the end for me.
Yeah, same for us, Had a great time, a great time, looked at the positives. And on the way home, I did something I hadn't done in about 5 years. Driving home, I'm hungry. You play golf, you work up a an appetite.
Yeah.
And I just heard a whisper in the wind as it was coming by. Cheesy gordita crunch. Who said that?
Wait, what? Gordita crunch.
Yes. Chalupa. I was like, what? I found the corner and there a Taco Bell was, and
there
I was in the drive-thru. I called my wife and said, I'm in the Taco Bell. I'm getting Taco Bell. You want some? She's like, yeah, I'll give you some. We haven't ate in about five years, and we were reminded quickly why we hadn't. Holy moly.
Oh, goodness.
But if you get that much food for $17, you know, I ordered about two of everything on the menu. They're like, $17. Like, holy moly. All right.
Love it. Good stop.
Oh, man. So, here we are, off and rolling. Sandy, for I have no idea what the context of the conversation was, but apparently Sandy Clough made a Michael Jordan comparison with yours truly.
Me?
No. Me.
What? You got to be kidding me. Sandy started early at the end of the weekend. What is he doing over there? When did he do this? Huh?
I have no idea what this sounds like. I hadn't
heard. What's in that water bottle of Sandy's?
Holy cow. I'm not sure, but this is Sandy from a couple hours ago.
Sandy, Zach was up. Zach had a 10-0 lead.
Well, that's Tyler's complaining about.
But
apparently,
Tyler came back and
got
won.
Got that by cheating.
Oh.
Ill-gotten means.
So Tyler's saying that he would have beat him down even more.
Yes.
Well, I think Tyler's just being a little sensitive because of how Zach whooped him up when they played one-on-one basketball.
Well, see, there's that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of history. You're right about that. Yeah. There's a little bit of history between these two. Zach, by humiliating Tyler Palumbus one-on-one, humiliation is the only word to describe it. Zach is one of those guys, you know, he always comes into the studio with a smile, you know, seems like the nicest guy in the world. And I have no doubt 99% of the time he is. But I have heard stories about Zach as a competitor. He is kind of the Michael Jordan when it comes to ruthless competitors at the Fan. He will do anything to win.
Oh, I absolutely love it, Sandy. No lies told. No lies told.
Except on the cornhole board.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go there.
Dude, you are
I said to myself, the first thing coming out of his mouth is our game of cornhole.
Fourth of July party.
Oh, my gosh.
That's good stuff, Sandy. That's good stuff. You got to love it. Anytime you're compared to Michael Jordan, I guess it's usually a good thing.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
That's awesome.
We have so much to get to today, and I'm so excited because we've been joined by him, I think, twice since you and I have been on the air here. But Bill Polian, a guy who I call the architect that built the team, the Buffalo Bills that went to four consecutive Super Bowls, built the Indianapolis Colts that won a Super Bowl and did so many good things, Hall of Famer personified. And he's going to join us at 12:30, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun catching up with him. He's got such great insight, and like you said, he's been part of two dynamic organizations, so he can kind of take you behind the scenes. And so it's going to be interesting to see his view on the Broncos draft and what they're building here. If he thinks they're going about it the right way, taking those two wide receivers, and so it's always fun to catch up with him.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yep. Cannot wait. Melvin Gordon with Ian Rapoport. We started to get to some of this sound yesterday. Wanted to continue to tackle it. Melvin Gordon on Drew Lock.
He beat us, so, he's worth something, you know. But I think he could be a really good player. He makes some really great throws. I think when he gets full control of the offense, when he's really out there dictating and really telling guys what to do and how to do it, I think when he gets that control and his confidence gets, to that level, he's going to be a monster. Right now, I think he's, those last couple games, he kind of built that confidence. I'm assuming now. But just more games under his belt. Where that confidence it just flourished. And just when he walks and talks, you could just see it come out. I think he's going to be a bad man.
And he said he could be a monster. but he's got to get to the point where he has full realization of his own skill, the full saturation of the offense. And I'm wondering here with you, Stoke, how long is that going to take where there's less thinking involved? We saw Drew Lock checking the wristband over and over. Remember, timeouts had to be used at one point because he just wasn't quite up to speed. Totally understandable, acceptable. He wasn't even practicing with the team throughout the season. And they made him split reps with Brandon Allen, Mr. It Factor, leading up to his first game.
How about that?
It's unbelievable when you look back. The further we get away, the more funny it is.
Playing silly games.
playing silly games. Who could forget? But because of that, he just wasn't fully up to speed. How long is it going to take where there's less thinking and he can just play fast and be the best version of himself?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's to be seen, I guess. You know, we'll see how long it takes, because the problem here is we're starting over again. And certainly he has NFL experience now, but not NFL experience in this offense. So there's going to be different terminology. There's going to be different progressions and reads and all those things. So you're kind of back to square one to a certain degree. But certainly he has that NFL experience, and he knows it. He knows now he can go out there and do it. And that's a big factor in all of this, is just knowing. Because you come to the NFL, everybody, you know, believes that they can do it. But at the same time, you're always like, well, this is the NFL. You know, can I actually go out there and get it done? Can I do it? I think I can, but can I? When the lights come on, can I be successful? And he can check that box. He knows that he can do it and do it at a very, very high level. But the issue now is just kind of starting from square one when it comes to the offense, when it comes to learning the offense and not thinking and just being able to go out there and play football. Certainly with the new offense and the way this offseason's going, you know, there's still going to be a lot of thinking from him and a lot of other guys on the offense.
Do you anticipate in 2020 him having a full grip of what's going on, or does that, and I'm asking you to guess and forecast here, so I'm not holding you to anything, but do you think any of these moments where the light bulb not only goes off but stays on in 2020, or is that a little bit lofty and it's probably going to be 2021?
Well, I think, you know, you're always evolving, you know, at the quarterback position, so I don't think he's going to all of a sudden master the offense in year one. That just doesn't happen. Now, but can he go out there and be successful and comprehend it and go out there and play really good football? Yes, but to master the offense, you know, that takes years to just master an offense and to be able to go out there and feel comfortable. And then all of a sudden, what do you start doing? You know, like Patrick Mahomes said, well, I wasn't really reading defenses. I didn't even know what they were doing, really. And now, you know, now everything starts slowing down. Now you'll start being able to read defenses and hopefully take your game to the next level. But, you know, that doesn't happen in 4, 5, 6 weeks. That takes a year or two to be able to get to that type of level.
You know, I'm glad you just brought up that Mahomes reference, because I forgot about that. And I know James Palmer actually just referenced it. Was it yesterday or the day before where he joined us?
The day before, I'll never forget.
Yeah.
When we have James on.
So it was Tuesday. Okay. He referenced that, and it was like, man, what was it like week 8 or week 10 or something this past year where he said it wasn't until this point in time where, you know, I was able to actually read the defense and react to what I'm processing in a split second. And that's a guy who walked in the league and threw 50 touchdowns and won the MVP before he is admitting that realization happened for him. So, you know what, maybe back to my question for you, maybe we'll see flashes of that ball, but maybe it doesn't, again, stay on until 2021. If we see enough in 2020 that warrants more of an opportunity for him.
Certainly. And just like anything, you know, anything that you do, and the more you do it, the more reps you get, the more comfortable you get, the more things slow down, the easier it gets. And the quarterback position, you got so much stuff going on, so much you're responsible for. And I think the last thing that happens is your ability to kind of the game slow down, obviously, and you be able to just read defenses and know where to go with the football. And then all of a sudden, what can you do? You can help change protections and pick up blitzes, and you see what they're trying to do and where they're trying to blitz from and those types of things. So, but that's, you know, that's advanced calculus. That's what that is.
Right.
That comes at the very, very end. Doesn't mean you can't be successful. Doesn't mean you can't go out there and have some really good games. And because, you know, you can see kind of what they're doing. But that's just, you know, that's just geometry. You know, once you really start dissecting it, now that's advanced calculus. But that's a couple years down the road.
Okay. This is more from Melvin Gordon. Hey, have you talked to any of your new teammates?
You know, I've talked to the guy because, you know, we play him. So, you know, I talked to, you know, Chubbs and the rookie linemen. You know, I had to holler at them, you know, so I talked to them. I talked to a couple of the linemen. You know, they all seem like great guys, man, just ready to work and get to it. Still a lot of you know, Jarrell Casey, I've met him before. He's dope. You know, I don't really know too many of the guys. You know, you just kind of see him and she's like a little quick. You know, what's up? Hey, man, good game, all that after the game.
So pretty unfamiliar with most of the Broncos outside of everybody's best friend, Von Miller.
Von, I've talked to. You know, he's really close with Melvin Ingram. And I'm really close with Melvin Ingram. So that's how me and Von, you know, kind of got connected. So I'm probably closer to Von than, you know, most people on the team, really, just because he was – just him and Melvin was around so much, and I was always around Melvin that I just seen Von all the time. So I'm really cool with Von. I actually called Von, you know, when I was, you know, just kind of decide. I called Von. He was the first person I called, and I was like, bro, just give me the scoop. Like, you know, give me your honest thoughts. Like, don't tell me what you want to tell me because you want me there or – you know, like, I need your honest, you know, thoughts on everything. And, you know, he kind of kept it real with me and kind of gave me the scoop.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it really is. And it's tough for a guy like Melvin Gordon or anybody that's changing teams this year. All of a sudden, you come to a new team, new locker room, new guys. The offseason is part of building that chemistry and those bonds with each other. And you just don't have that. You don't have it to build those relationships and get to know guys. So, that makes it difficult, really, really difficult. And you look at Melvin Gordon's situation, and obviously at least he knows a few guys and good buddies with Von. How about Von's phone? I mean, Von's great buddies with everybody, seems like, in the world. I mean, his phone's got to be constantly just blowing up. Text messages left and right, right?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. And he, you know, Von is one of these guys who, you know, he is how old is Von? He's about 30, right? So this is a guy who basically kind of lives on social media. Like, if you want to know what Von Miller's up to, typically, you just pull up his Instagram. There's days where the whole day is sort of documented in diary fashion, which, you know, some people get down like that.
You were doing that for a little bit.
I mean, I was trying, but it's not.
I'm going to start doing Instagram stories. You had it in the. You know, when we were doing our show, you're over there doing it before the show, after.
I know.
And then that kind of fizzled out.
It's
a lot of work, isn't it?
It kind of is, and I don't want to come across as, you know, like, look at me, look at me, look at me,
right,
which is sort of what the purpose of the app is.
Right. Well, if you're going to do an Instagram story, it's usually about yourself, right?
It's usually about yourself or what you're up to, what you made, where you're at, who you're with. And, you know, I told myself I was going to force myself to do it, but it doesn't feel natural for me. I'm still trying. I'm a work in progress here.
It's just work, though. It's just work. That's what it becomes. You know, social media, sometimes it's, you know, it's fun to get on it and do some things, but then at the same time, the more you do it, it becomes just more work, more time out of your day committed to, you know, just what am I doing? I'm doing social media stuff. I should be doing something else.
Right. No, that's a good point too. Like, is this productive? Am I making the most of my time? Folks like you and me have been sort of instructed, and not like directly so, but, you know, I'm sure at some point in time you've been given advice at whether it's broadcast, boot camp, or someone else since then. I know I've had, you know, people that, you know, I really respect say, hey, you know, you got to be doing this stuff. You got to put it out there. No one's going to, you know, be front and center of your brand than you. So I totally get it. But sometimes it just doesn't feel natural to me. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes, and I've never said this out loud, sometimes I get anxiety with it. Like, I'll, like, post something online, and I'll, like, get anxious about it for some reason. You ever get that way, Steven?
I get that way.
He's nodding his head yes. You get that way,
too? I get that way.
Okay.
I get that way. I don't like, especially if you get news, if I get news and you're almost, like, breaking a story, I get high anxiety when I'm doing that. I don't like to do that stuff. It puts you in an awkward spot, you know. And there's a few times that I've done it. You know, I'm not saying I do that stuff a lot, but there's a few times I've had stuff that I've, you know, broke some stuff on. But it does. It makes me very anxious and just I don't like it.
Yeah, and I hear you. That I've actually had a conversation with Nikki Javala about this before, that, like, when you're breaking news and even if it's, you know, 90% accurate and there's something there that may not be totally flush with what you reported, it feels like the sky is falling.
Yes.
And if you break the news on a regular basis, like Nikki or Kliss or one of these guys, that I can't, I would never want to step into that world.
No, it's tough. I remember when Trevor Siemian had the surgery. I forgot what it was on.
Yes, dude. And, you and I just started to work with each other like within that first 6 or 7 months.
And I got some information on him that, you know, it was a serious, what was it, his knee, a shoulder or something?
Gosh, I forget. Well,
maybe a shoulder
or something.
But,
yeah, I think it was
But it was a lot more than what they anticipated, and it looked like he might be, you know, he probably was going to miss the whole offseason. And so I put that report out there, and next thing you know, it turns out he didn't miss the whole offseason, but at that time, it you know, from a somebody really close to him, they were thinking that he was going to probably miss the whole offseason and, you know, and be there back in training camp. So, but just stuff like that, it's like, should I even put this out there? Is it even worth it? And, you know, you don't know if it's what's going to actually happen in 2 months, right? How it's going to heal and all that. But, yeah, it does. It puts you in a – just puts me – makes me feel weird.
Yep. Yep. Well, you are not alone. I am here with you. All right.
You are not alone.
Rocks Heating and Air Fan Madden Tournament. That's Rocks, R-O-X, Rocks Heating and Air. Highlights of Cecil and Sean Drotar's game is on our website.
They battled?
They battled. And
I don't know who I would go with here. I would guess I'm going to give a slight edge, just not knowing anything that happened. Myself, I'd give a slight edge to Cecil. I just think he probably – I know Drotar's been – behind the scenes guy. I just think Cecil plays a little bit more probably. So I would give the edge to Cecil in that matchup.
I'll give folks a chance to go to the website, okay, and find out for themselves. I'll tell you at some point in this hour what happened. Boy, it was ugly. But you can head to 1043thefan.com and okay. Again, let's just say it was not a good night for one of these guys.
Backed up fake punts?
I don't know. I haven't checked it out for myself. I was actually listening to Nick and Cecil last night and heard how it went down.
So will you play the loser of that?
I think it's round robin. I think it's round robin. So I think I play all three of these guys. So just not sure who's up next. But
you think you might get a win?
Judging off what happened to one of these guys, I think I might have a shot.
Okay.
I think I might have a shot. And I'm also playing Tyler in a rematch tonight, word has it.
Wait, what?
Yes.
The rematch?
With something on the line.
Oh.
We both have Venmo, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I love it. make sure you, if you win, tell him to send you my $20 he still owes me.
Oh, and the juice
from the basketball matchup.
Oh, boy.
The juice is rolling. That 20 turned into 40. That's a 40 piece.
That's a 40 piece.
Yeah, baby.
All right. Hang tight because the legendary, the Hall of Famer, the one and the only Bill Polian joins us next. We're going to be joined with Bill Polian any second now.
Let us know. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line. Have we got any good questions that you think we should ask the Hall of Famer, Bill Polian, 303-713-1043. Let us know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, hit us up. Hit us up. If you have questions,
thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? I saw a couple of these questions, and Nick Ferguson just hit me up as well, just saying that, you know, what is Bill Polian's reaction to Lamar Jackson going on to win the MVP after he famously suggested that he switch to wide receiver, and I'm curious if. You know, with and obviously we'll go about that very respectfully. But when you're a draft evaluator, when you're evaluating talent, you're going to have swings and misses, and you're going to have connections on guys that you know. Here's an example, like Michael Ojemudia. I'm here saying that the Broncos overdrafted Michael Ojemudia. I think you could have got him in any one of your third round picks, but the Broncos are higher on him than and I guess currently are than just about everyone else. And right. if he hits, then then that's one that's going to go down in the books that, man, John, there was 10, quote-unquote, best available cornerbacks when they selected Michael Ojemudia. But if you pick that guy right, you have that feather in your cap forever. And I'm curious, who's a guy like that for Bill that he kind of stuck his neck out on and hit? And it worked. And who is a guy, and maybe it is Lamar, but who is a guy that he was just convinced was not going to work, and he turned out to be a something special. So
yeah,
I think that'd be a fun conversation to get into. But this is a guy, I mean, Bill Polian has done it all. I mean, this is a guy that's been involved in the NFL and the scouting world since the 1970s.
Wow.
With the Kansas City Chiefs. And then he spent time in the CFL. With the Montreal Alouettes and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and then he comes back and has his run with the Buffalo Bills from 84, 85, and all the way up to 92, and built those teams and did a good job with the Carolina Panthers too, 95 to 97, had them.
Forgot about that.
Really good football team there. In the mid to late 90s, and then in the late 90s comes to Indianapolis and had, you know, arguably the greatest stretch of his career, which was about 10 years before becoming the team president eventually, and built that thing up, and you were a part of that.
So, yeah, he did a great job of doing that, obviously. But you look at all his different stops and what he's been able to accomplish. Really, just a legendary figure in the NFL community. So it's going to be good to catch up with him.
Yeah, it will be. It will be. He's starting a podcast, and I think he's doing the rounds, so maybe he's finishing up a previous conversation. But we'll connect with Bill when we get a chance.
I got my lunch. Shout out to Carsey.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I did. Thank you.
Love you, Carson. Did my son get a shout out there at the end? I thought I heard Owen.
He might have. I got him an icy today. I was out and had to get some gas, so I got him an icy. He's fired up. I think he just got some French fries, so he is. It's a good day for him. Tomorrow's his 14th birthday. My baby's going to be 14. Yeah, so it's a big day, big week, big
man,
week.
Man, that is so cool. Hey, I saw Peyton's Places. Speaking of Colts, yeah. And Peyton's Places coming back for season two. He announced it on the golf course a couple days ago, it looked like.
Yeah, I might have been playing with him that day.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, looked like, of course, we might have been playing a few days ago when he made that video. I didn't see him making it, though. But, yeah, I did hear about that. I did hear about that they were going to try to do a season two and hit some things that they didn't hit in the first one. So I think it's awesome. I wonder if I'm going to get another cameo appearance. That's really the only concern for me, right? I mean, you're going to find a way to get Stoke in there somehow, some way? I mean,
well, Peyton has a way of doing that for you. Peyton's Places season two coming to ESPN Plus. But we have our guy, and a guy that you have so much respect and admiration for, as do I. It's the Hall of Fame. Bill Polian joins us live here on Stokely and Zach. Bill, I guess I'll just start here. We've talked to you a couple times over the last handful of years, and I'm just curious, how are you doing in the midst of the world being turned upside down, and how for you personally has this pandemic been?
Well, I'm good, thank you. We live in just outside Charlotte, North Carolina, and so things have been kind of quiet. My wife and I have, basically adhered to the stay-at-home guidelines. That it can be a little boring at times. We're running out of Netflix things to watch. But the only real hardship for us has been unable to see our grandchildren. Two are located in Tucson, and three are located in Florida, and then two in South Bend. So that's been tough, but. Hopefully things will look up, and what we've gone through is nothing compared to the 100,000 or so folks that have had all this difficulty. So we're blessed, and we wish all of those that are afflicted, and thank all that are working with them for all they do for us.
Yeah, certainly. And we're joined by NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Bill, when you look at the offseason, how it's been disrupted by everything that's going on, obviously there's been no, you know, OTAs, no workouts. And how do you think that will affect a team like the Denver Broncos? When you look at them now, they're going to be in their second defensive coordinator, Vic, obviously going to be back for a second year. But offensively, when you look at the young quarterback and Drew Lock having only made five starts, you look at drafting two wide receivers there in the first and second round, and a brand new offense under Pat Shurmur. How do you think that will affect their offense?
Well, whenever the season opens, whether it's whether we have a truncated preseason or not, whenever the season opens, we're going to be a little bit behind, and that's going to be exacerbated with teams that have new coordinators, new quarterbacks, and new receivers. So it's going to be less than the most efficient start you could have for the Broncos and other teams like them. But keep in mind that you probably weren't even alive when this happened, Stoke, but back in the good old days, players would leave the facility in late December, and even the playoff teams, the Super Bowl, you know, was only like played the second week in January. So even the teams that made the Super Bowl left in January and came back for 1 3-day mini camp, usually at the end of May, usually right around this time, and then left again and went back to their off-season jobs. The mini camp was on a weekend. They went back to their off-season jobs and reported back to training camp. Usually, in those days, we had six-week training camp, so it was usually mid-July. And what they gained in training camp was two extra weeks of conditioning. It wasn't really until the 1990s and 1993, to be specific, that OTAs came into play. And off-season programs didn't develop really in full until the late 80s. So we still had good football. We actually had less injuries in the off-season than we do now because they weren't around and weren't working at the level that they are now. And the quality of play was good. So I'm going to be anxious to see, since we will have no OTAs effectively, I think. Let's see what the how the injuries play out. As long, I think that the short answer is, as long as we have 6 to 8 weeks to get ready before the regular season, meaning, and that includes strength and conditioning, organized strength and conditioning, not just on the field, I think we'll be fine.
Bill Polian, the legendary Hall of Famer, joining us here on Stokely and Zach. I have to go here. There's a lot of people around Broncos country that believe that we should be lowering our expectations for the Broncos offense because of, you know, what Stoke just kind of referenced, this lack of offseason, but it's a brand new offense. It's a young quarterback who's only played five football games. You got new receivers, new tight end, new offensive line. In terms of expectation for trying to get out of the muck and the mire of where the Broncos offense have been, should we be going about this thing with extreme patience and maybe not even expecting to see the dividends pay off until 2021? Or is it, hey, no excuses, no explanations, figure it out?
No, that doesn't work. Not with the change that is being put on this offense. That's too much to take that approach. I think what you should be looking for, let's start with the quarterback. Are we seeing the kind of growth and development in him that would make you think that he can take it to the promised land at some time in the future? Do you see the growth and development of the receivers working together and you know, meshing with him and meshing with the offense? How is the offensive line doing? There are people that would make an argument that any offensive line would be better than what you've had in the past. So that's not a high bar right, by any measure. So bottom line is, who's left? The running game should be pretty good. I think it'll be pretty good, and Pat will emphasize it. And then you look for the quarterback and the receivers to grow together. And by the time we hit week 12, if we have a full season, the measurement should start from week 12 on. Look, go back. Stoke, I'm not sure you were with us at the time, but Peyton's rookie year, the turnaround took place in week 12. We started to see things getting better and better and better, and even though it didn't reflect itself in the record, we could tell that the arrow was moving up, and that's what you should be looking for, not much else, because it's almost impossible, particularly when you add all of this disruption that's taken place in the offseason, to get the kind of progress that would make you an immediate contender. That's asking too. That's a bridge to borrow a phrase from Dr. Fauci, that's a bridge too far.
And we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Mr. Polian, when you know, you were with the Colts, you had a great wide receiver in Marvin Harrison, obviously, Hall of Famer. Peyton Manning was Peyton Manning, right? You could see that he was going to be the real deal. And you went out in the first round there in the early 2000s, and you still drafted Reggie Wayne to complement those guys. What was your thought process there? Because we're looking at the Broncos here, and they got a, you know, obviously a young quarterback that hasn't done much in the NFL, just played five games, but they have a number one wide receiver in Cortland Sutton. A lot of people thought they should go offensive line in the first round, but they went with Jerry Jeudy. What was your thought process there when you selected Reggie Wayne in the first round?
In this day and age, you neglected, you know, modestly to say that we went out and got you in free agency too. So in this day and age, you need to have three quality wide receivers that the defense has to honor. You have to have a tight end who's really efficient. If you're lucky enough to get a Dallas Clark, then that's great. But at a minimum, he has to be efficient. And if you don't have those weapons, it's hard to operate an offense that can go all the way. Because in the playoffs, late in the season, when the games are really meaningful in the division, you have to have the kind of firepower that can win shootouts. I mean, I don't care how good Vic's defense is, and it's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. And it may border on great if he's able to get the right components in place, because he's really an outstanding defensive coach. But you're going to have some shootouts with the Chiefs. I mean, that's just the facts. Houston was up 17-0, right?
Yeah,
and boom, in the wink of an eye, it was gone. So you have to have firepower across the board, and number one. And number two, Jerry Jeudy affects the entire defense. A tackle affects one position. I mean, let's be honest about it. Jerry Jeudy makes at least 2.5 people in the secondary and maybe a linebacker react to his presence out there. The tackle's only blocking one guy. It's just simply a matter of how they affect the defense. And I know that, you know, there are certain people that say running backs aren't important and wide receivers fall off trees. It's not true.
Love it.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love that. And the one and the only Bill Polian, Hall of Famer, joining us. Mr. Polian, I got to ask you this question. You evaluated talent for decades. You've been looking at talent since the late 1970s when you were a scout with the Kansas City Chiefs. You're going to get hits and you're going to have misses. You did not believe that Lamar Jackson was going to be as successful as he ended up being. And I have a two-part question for you. Does Lamar Jackson go down in all your decades of evaluating talent as the one that you'd like to have back the most? And I'm also curious, on the other side of the coin, who's a guy that you really believed in and sort of stuck your neck out for and really paid dividend after dividend?
I really couldn't go back far enough in my memory to give you an answer on that, on the latter question. I don't focus necessarily on individual players that I liked or didn't like. I mean, in the end, it's the result that counts. I don't count up my hits and misses. I've measured this for years and said, number one, the best of us, Ron Wolf and myself, Jim Finks, who are general managers that are in the Hall of Fame, the best of us bat 550. This is an inexact science. So I'm not going around asking for any medals or remembering any great choices that I made or didn't make. I do remember all of the people like Stoke who played on our great teams. That's the whole object of it.
Sure.
It's not about winning the draft. It's about winning games. Secondly, with respect to Lamar, he's playing in an offense that's specifically designed for him and his skill set. I was using another platform to evaluate him, the traditional NFL quarterback model. And I was wrong to use that platform. If I'd extrapolated and said, okay, if we put him in an option run-oriented offense, he can be, really successful quarterback, then I probably would have made a better evaluation, but I didn't, and so that's that.
Mr. Polian, we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Polian. Do you think that more offenses in the NFL will start going that route to spread offenses or more run-heavy offenses like we see Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? Just because the transition for these guys, it makes it so much easier. Do you think we'll start seeing more of that trend? I mean, we've seen a little bit of it. Do you think we'll start seeing more and more throughout the next few years?
Well, there's a lot of spread stuff in the National Football League right now. I mean, RPOs, all of that stuff is are offshoots of the spread. And you know, the coach at Florida State now, Leach gets a lot of credit for, you know, putting in the air raid or whatever you want to call it. That's in the National Football League now. But, I mean, there's a lot of that stuff, the option routes versus zones and the conversions that, you know, we were doing and when you were playing in Indianapolis. That's right. That's not new, but there's more of it than when we were doing it. That's true of the no huddle as well. We were doing the no huddle back in Buffalo in the late 80s. Now there's just more of it. So I think it goes in trends. Now, in terms of the running quarterback, the so-called option quarterback, as opposed to Russell Wilson, okay, let's use Russell Wilson as the on the one hand, and Colin Kaepernick on the other. Colin Kaepernick is a guy who essentially ran the option, same offense that Lamar Jackson runs, same coordinator, by the way. That is an offense that's specifically designed to use the quarterback as a runner, not as a guy who extends plays and then looks down the field after extending and makes big plays in the passing game the way Russell does and Patrick Mahomes does. That's a design quarterback run. The latter is a design quarterback run offense. I don't think that can sustain itself in the NFL for long because guys get hurt. You know, right. Quarterbacks running, there are no old running quarterbacks in the NFL because their talents don't last long. Now, the thing that's interesting is that there is no question that what you said is correct. There are more of those guys coming out of college. And so you have to ask yourself the question, if the guy that's doing it now so successfully finally runs out of gas, i.e. Cam Newton, because he's injured, and not that Cam had a lot of design runs, but he did make a living running the football. After the injuries catch up, do we recycle, keep the offense and recycle with a similar guy? That's an interesting question, and I don't have an answer to it.
Yeah.
Bill Polian joining us here. Before we let you go, and of course the Hall of Famer, six-time NFL Executive of the Year, you are starting a podcast, if I'm not mistaken. Do you mind telling our audience about that?
Not at all. It's called Inside Football with Bill Polian. It's available on iTunes and any other place that you get your podcasts. And it's designed to use the retrospective of my 35 or so years in pro football and to repeat some of the in detail some of the things I've learned. This first episode that's up now talks about the drafting of Peyton over Ryan Leaf. And it sort of peels back the onion. it tells you what goes on, how the, to use mixed metaphors, how the sausage is made in the NFL, what goes into the decisions on one quarterback versus another, or one coach versus another, or how you build a team in the salary cap era. It's designed to be both entertaining and educational, and thus far the reviews have been pretty good, so I'm happy with it. It's fun to do, and I'm looking forward to more of it.
I love it. I can't wait to check it. I got one more for you, Mr. Poland, before we let you go. You don't mind, we certainly appreciate your time, and we're visiting with NFL Hall of Famer Bill Poland. When you look at Tom Brady and him moving from the Patriots to Tampa Bay, how do you think that's going to work out for him? And do you think he's still got a lot of good football left in him?
Well, I think he has some good football left in him. Father Time is undefeated, as we all know. But the bottom line is this. History tells you when an elite player like Tom Brady and Phillip Rivers changes teams after they've been with one team their whole career, they have a spurt, a year or two spurt, where they still maintain a high level of play. And then it's usually, the end usually comes because of injuries. So if history is any guide, then both of those guys probably will have good years this year, and then we'll see where they go in terms of staying healthy.
The one and the only, the Hall of Famer Bill Poland. Go check out the podcast, Inside Football Podcast with Bill Poland. It's available on iTunes or whatever platform that you do listen to your podcast. Check this one out. Mr. Poland, we thank you so much for stopping by and giving us a piece of your time once again.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Great to talk with you, Stoke.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes.
Love it.
The legendary sixth time. When it comes to NFL Executive of the Year, he put up a Jordan number.
Yeah.
Six different times. And there was a question that I wanted to ask and didn't get to this time around that maybe we can ask sometime in the future. But we have so much to react to.
Yes, we do.
That was terrific, and we'll do it next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.